Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Cracked Podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Cracked Podcast. You're on with your host, Mauricio Mookie Wilson. Every week, I'm joined with my brothers, my co-hosts. Let's give a big round of applause, please, for DeMarcus Beasley and the Glow, Aguchi Anyewo.
This man calls me the Glow one more time. I'm gonna body slam him.
Yo, you call yourself the Glow.
Nobody calls me the Glow.
You called yourself the Glow.
I call you Dusty. Both of y'all shut up.
But you called yourself. But you called yourself the Glow.
Ain't nobody. Well, tell me when. Time, date.
You know we have everything recorded, right? You know we have everything recorded, right? You know that.
Yeah, right.
Literally 5 minutes ago.
Ain't nobody call me the Glow.
Your Glow look a little off today too. What's up, fellas? How you guys feeling, man?
Yeah, I feel. Wait. I feel a little goose. You all right? Like something happened. Like. You wake up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
You need to tackle somebody, man.
Why are both of y'all coming at me like this?
No, I mean, you just said you don't call yourself the Glow, but you actually do. So
I don't like when slander is thrown my way.
How is that slander? That's great. The Glow. That's like, you don't choose your nicknames. You know that, Gooch, right? I didn't choose Mookie.
Can we proceed, please?
Yeah. Trick, did you choose Tricky in your life?
No, I did not. Someone chose it for me.
It doesn't work that way, Gooch. You just get stuck with it, man. You get teased. You know what I'm saying? What's up, fellas? How are you feeling today, man? We have people listening to us. So, hello. How you guys doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm hanging in. Yeah, well, I mean, the COVID in Houston is getting
ridiculous. In Texas as a whole, man. But before we get into that, I just want to say thank you for everybody for tuning in to the Cracked Podcast. We have a terrific show on today. We have Robbie Rogers, who is a former U.S. men's national team player and a Leeds United player, and now is a producer on B's favorite TV show, All American, on WB.
Yes, sir, man. I ain't gonna lie. I only started watching it.
Not the WB, man. The CW.
My bad. They changed it, right? It used to be WB, no?
Nah, the WB is a completely different demographic of show.
Oh, man. True. Listen, I watch it on Netflix, man. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, I love the show. I'm only two episodes in, but man, I was literally thinking about canceling the show just to keep going and watching it.
I saw previews of this show time ago. And I didn't know Robbie had anything to do with this.
Right.
Let me watch some of this. Maybe it's all right.
Yeah.
Son, I was up till 5 a.m. just blowing through the first season. I was like, wow. I was like, this is sick. This is sick.
You know, but I have a lot of questions to ask Robbie because I finished season two, and I have some. I was in love with it at first. I told everybody, All America, All America, All America. Then season two came around.
I think you even told me about it.
I told you, but you don't listen to me. Anyway. And then season two came along, and I'm like, I felt kind of bad telling everybody about it, you know? Just because, you know, I think it messed up my street cred. You know, when it comes to Netflix, when it comes to Netflix,
it's like, it hit you like Empire did. That first season was sick, and then
exactly.
Season two and three, you're like, all right, let me go to power now.
I didn't even watch Empire, so I don't even know. I don't even watch it. I never.
But
watched
B's, you own a TV though, right?
Yes.
I'm just asking. Making sure.
I mean, it's got an antenna. Does that count? What? Hey, don't forget where you came from.
Now. Don't forget where you came from, man.
Forget where you came from.
Up there. Is the signal good now? Is it good?
Yeah, I remember when I used to go to my grandma's house back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And you had the TV with only 12 channels.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Just a little click. Yes, it's like sir. Click to one, click to two, click to three, click. And you only had 12 channels. That was it. You had to mess with the antenna to make sure it was right, make sure you know in a good area or something.
I remember watching my first soccer games on television was watching Napoli play with Maradona on UHF. Remember that? The second knob? With the back stations. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's channel 67. Yo, Beast, I swear to God. The thing was all gray, right? You could barely make out the person, the figures on the field. All you know is goal, goal. You don't know what cleats they're wearing. You don't know what jersey number. You can't see any fine print, man. So the times have definitely changed, and we're showing our age. So let's move on. And speaking about new youth and new energy, I just wanted to talk a little bit about the MLS Black Players Coalition. I want to give a big shout out to all those guys, not just Ray Gaddis, not just Morrow, not just CJ Sapong, not just Jaleel, but all the players who are participating. Even USL players have been on the call. I know Gooch and Bees, you both have a relationship with Ray, and we know he's a stand-up guy, but how do you feel if MLS coming up? What do you think, Gooch, should be the proper protest or a proper way to bring some attention on what they're trying to accomplish? In your opinion.
In terms of the response from the MLS?
No, I want you, for the Players Association, what do you think they should do?
I mean, what they're doing right now, they're banding together, they're unified, they're strength in numbers, and you see that they have numbers, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, the coalition started because they were realizing that fragments of the African American players were having the conversations in little pockets. And then they're like, you know what? Let's bring it all together. We're having the same exact conversations in different areas. Let's just bring it together. Mm-hmm. Let's put our ideas together. Let's bring the discussion to the league, to the commissioner. Let's form this unified message. And that's what they did, you know, and now what they're doing is bringing awareness to a lot of the, you know, the wrongs in the league, you know, the disparaging numbers of African Americans in higher management, some of the racial stigmas within the league, you know, and I think it's great. I mean, they're looking for more diversity amongst the players, amongst the management, everywhere in the league, and for the MLS to, right after the announcement of the coalition, to make their own announcement saying that we recognize them, we're going to stand by them, we're going to work with them, partner with them, right there, they are making that acknowledgement. So now, from here on out, we can hold them accountable for actions that are made or actions that are not made.
A lot of pressure, though, for the MLS right now, because seeing what EPL has done by putting Black Lives Matter on all the jerseys, wearing an armband that represents that, kneeling. I mean, those weren't passive. Those are very, aggressive and head on and point. Bees, I mean,
yeah, but okay, go ahead.
What can the MLS has to really upstage and kind of go above and beyond what the EPL has done, as well as the Bundesliga, don't you think?
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, I feel that, you know, it all looks good on paper, you know, it all looks good on TV and the marketing, but for me, it's action. You know, what they're trying to accomplish with the, you know, Black Coalition and MLS, you know, it's not just about, you know, it's not just about having, you know, head coaches and GM positions, you know, more so having more Black Americans or Black people in general have more power. They're looking at it from a whole different spectrum as well as that, you know, and it's going from education. It's going from, you know, people that look like us, that have a different way out, not just on the soccer field, you know, but obviously MLS going above and beyond to help us. You know what I'm saying? Because not every kid is going to play. Not every black kid is going to play soccer. You know, but if MLS has these programs, you know, for kids in the inner cities, for black kids, you know, for whoever, it doesn't matter, whoever, to, you know, have a different voice and find a different way to, you know, really impact their mind, not just from the sports way. I think that's a big step, you know. So for me, it's not just, you know, yeah, it's a great thing what EPL is doing with Black Lives Matter, with the jerseys. I love it. I'm with it. I feel, you know, it's great. But for me, it's got to be action, you know. And I feel that if MLS is really going to get behind what, you know, these boys are talking about, you know, I think it's going to be great. And it's going to be great, not just for now, but in the future.
I also think that it's not they shouldn't look at it as a competition with the EPL. Oh, we have to make a bigger splash or this, right? Because is that going to last? Like, we need sustainable change. And like B said, it doesn't stop with on the field stuff. It doesn't stop with management. It starts with youth development programs, inner city programs, big time initiatives that are going to make a lasting impact, not just names on the back of the jerseys. Albeit that was a hell of a statement from the EPL to do it, you know? And I think that,
And speaking to a lot of coaches in England as a whole, black coaches, they said, you know, it's the same problems. The academies do not have any representation in the coaching staff, don't have representation in the boardrooms. So I hopefully, again, this was spiral. But then also this weekend, what happened at Burnley, Gooch,
Wait. Sorry. Before we get into that.
Please.
Just going back to, you know, the Black Coalition, and, you know, I want them to know. I mean, they know that we're with them. We're definitely together, and it's that. But at the same time, it's different because, you know, they're in the league. Yeah. You know, and, you know, I mean, Gooch and I. We spoke about this the other day with our other friends that you know, maybe we can come up with some kind of alumni. Alumni group, you know, so our support that, you know, not just when you're done with, this is not just an MLS thing. So when you're done with MLS, then okay, now what do I do? Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So like, you know, myself, Goose, Nelly, and Ricky Lewis, you know, we had a conversation as well. Like we want to help, man. Yeah. We want to help. We want to show our support. We want to do what we can from outside the pitch. You know what I'm saying? Not just things that they can do as they're, you know, together. We want to show our support and be there and come up with ideas and show that,
you know, it's funny though, Ricky Lewis and Gooch and all you guys, you had discussions of this years ago, right? Yeah. About coming together, and now only now is the urgency has come upon us, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's a must, right? I think everybody has a role to play, but you know, it gets ridiculous, man. But what happened at Burnley over the weekend, I think it was a great thing to happen. I think that because it.
Why you say that?
Because it shows the reality, right?
That it shows the reality,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like it's cute to do everything we did, but in reality, how people really feel, for somebody to take the time to rent a plane, put together the sign.
Yeah, I mean, racism is alive and well, regardless, you know? And for people that say, oh, it only exists in America, they're completely misinformed. And, you know, to fight, and the funny thing is, to have a banner, a plane fly a banner that reads White Lives Matter Burnley, that was a direct response to everything that the EPL was doing, right?
Direct.
A direct response, not because he felt White Lives Matter, he felt some form of being left out and what about us or whatever. And you know, when I was looking at it, the guy responsible, his name is Jake Apple.
And, oh, so they found his name. I didn't even see that.
Yeah, they said, you know, I'm reading an article right now, and he has a lot of posts, racially biased posts. His girlfriend as well. His girlfriend tweeting that her town was like a foreign country, and it said, before adding in the follow-up post, they need sending back on banana boats. Stinking bitches.
Wow. And see, I didn't, oh, man.
And it's ridiculous that this kind of ignorant thinking, and these people are even allowed to be, you know, a part of society as a whole, right? There's no place for racism in sports. There's no place for racism in society, period. And for me, in general, that's a hate crime. It's a hate crime, plain and simple. And that's hate speech, that's hate dialogue, there's no place for it. And it's when I read the highlights, I was like, wow.
You know what they're gonna say is like, oh, well, that's my opinion.
That's my opinion, right? And they feel protected.
Yeah, and they feel protected.
Well, yeah, they make, and also the freedom of speech aspect, right? They're trying to show that, listen, if you can say Black Lives Matter and we can say All Lives Matter, it doesn't matter, right? And that's just the back and forth that's going to continue. How does it stop, right? And because people are going to believe what they want to believe, no matter what.
But the crazy thing is, it's people within our generation, right? To say on your social media publicly, send these people back on banana boats. And I'm thinking...
The last time you came over on a banana boat. It's so stupid. It's stupid.
Send them back on the
banana. That just shows ignorance.
Stupid. Yeah.
Like, you obviously don't know history. You obviously aren't educated. You're very narrow-minded. You hang around in a circle of other narrow-minded people.
True. Hey guys, I wanted to introduce Gooch's favorite segment.
Say what segment?
U.S. men's national team. Fullback, but at right fullback, DeAndre Yedlin, who currently plays for Newcastle United. He had an interview with Robbie Earl in the UK, and they asked him what was his feelings toward international play while there is racial inequality in the US. And I want to play what he had to say. I thought it was pretty important. Here we go.
Yeah, I have considered it, and I have thought about it, and it's kind of one of those waiting games to see if a change does happen. But at the end of the day, you know, if things go as they stand, it's hard for me as an African American male to represent a country that does things like this, where all people aren't equal. It's a tough situation. And I know the problem is, I think the majority of people do want equality for everybody, but I think there's
Gooch, I want to talk about, you know, in terms of representing and playing for your country, for him to have a doubt for playing for US, I mean, that's another level.
I'll say that when I heard his the statement the first time, part of me was like, all right, I respect his stance. Is he saying this because Zach Steffen made that statement saying, how am I going to defend the U.S. if the U.S. doesn't defend me? So I was like, is he piggybacking on it? And then as I, you know, kind of sat and contemplated more, and I was like, I'm the more the time went on, I respected it more, because he knew saying that, he's going to get backlash, right? And despite the backlash, he was like, I'm going to say it anyway. Yeah, so if he makes that statement and he sticks by it and sticks by his principles, then I'll be like,
more power to you.
More power to you. A round of applause, because you're standing by something that you believe in. If he does it.
I thought, why are you saying if? I don't,
because I'm saying, like, you can say that. Let's say he's saying that the situation changes. Well, yeah. If it doesn't, he still gets called in and he's playing right back and without anything, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously that remains to be seen, but you know,
what do you think?
I think exactly what you just said. You know, I think that he is standing up for what he believes in. He's expressing that. And I know DeAndre from from our playing days.
Did you play with him?
Yeah. We played, yeah. You know, obviously in the World Cup and the
right.
friendlies and all that stuff.
Right.
And obviously towards the end of my U.S. career, I got to play with, you know, with D. But yeah, I mean, I think for me, you can kind of see and feel the energy that he gets that when he talks about this certain topic, that I think that if US soccer and America, not even just US soccer, but America doesn't change the way, you know, how they think about society and Black Lives Matter and really, you know, put, you know, black people literally on equal playing levels as white people, then I don't think you're gonna see DeAndre Yellen.
Yeah, but here's the problem though. How do you judge that, right? Like, in terms of what has to happen for him to feel okay, we have racial equality.
I think one thing, I mean, like I said, I don't know. That's getting deeper into the conversation, because is he just talking about U.S. soccer? Is he talking about America as a whole? You know what I'm saying? Because I think he's
talking about America as a whole, to be honest with
okay,
you.
Okay, well then, yeah. Then if he sees that, you know, they're making changes that he feels, and he obviously speaking to his family, that, you know, they're making strides to right the wrong, then maybe he plays. But that's a question that you have to ask him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I mean, real talk, because that's a good question, Mookie, you just brought up. Like, what would have to happen for him to actually play for America again?
Should we call him?
Hit him up. Yeah, but yeah, I mean, real talk though. I think that would be a good question to ask him, because I mean, only he knows that answer. Not me, right. Not Gooch, not you. You
know, I got a question. So, if he chose not to play with the national team anymore, you think the U.S. national team would miss him, or they'd just be like, "All right, we got Cannon, we got this, we got that."
Yeah, I think they.
Well, here's the problem though. The bigger question: Will players support him?
I think so.
You mean support him in the sense of they stop playing, or support him in the sense of
what? DeAndre ain't playing. I'm not playing either.
Yeah.
That's another.
That's where we should be. That's the real right. If one player jumps out the window and feels a certain way, not saying all players have to feel the same way, and that's the reality. We have to make something clear. Not all Black people feel the same way. Not all Black people have the same answers.
Right.
This is not like we wake up every morning and there's a news report. I mean, there's a news report telling us how to answer questions.
I think it's more relative. So we all see what's going on in the country, right? But our perception of it could be completely different. So, like you said, he says if the country doesn't change, and that's his perception of it not changing. Yeah. It could be different than another person.
Exactly. Right, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. That's the only question that you can – the only answer you can get from that is to ask DeAndre Yellen himself, because we really don't know. I mean,
next guest on the show.
Yeah, it could be, because, I mean, we really don't know.
But that's real, Gooch. Like, how far do we take this? And that's taking it pretty far. That's saying, listen, I'm putting my career in jeopardy.
Yeah, that's Kaepernick.
I was actually in the office today. One of my colleagues told me a story about, I think it was Barcelona was playing at Zaragoza. And I guess the Zaragoza fans were saying something to Eto at the time. Mm-hmm. They were booing or monkey chants or whatever. And Eto was like, I'm done. I'm walking off the field. And the referee was trying to tell him, like, if they continue, I'm calling the game. And Eto didn't want to hear it. He's pushing him away. He's like, I'm leaving. And then I think there was a Zaragoza player that came up to him and said, if you leave, I'm leaving too.
Yeah.
And then all the players of Zaragoza was like, oh, shoot. You know what I mean? They're like, okay. And so I guess that reaction changed their outlook of the situation. And I guess you could correlate that now to like what you're saying about DeAndre. So if he felt so strongly and then –
if Weston McKennie, Jozy Altidore,
Tyler Adams,
Brooks,
Zach Steffen,
DeAndre Levin, Dest. Sorry if we leave anybody out. If those gentlemen, and let me tell you something, man. I'm a firm believer, and I've hoped that if they decided not to play, that the rest of their teammates, white or Hispanic, would do the same thing.
You think so?
That's me, my statement as an outsider.
I don't think so, because I don't think so. I think
I don't see that coming.
Yeah, I don't see that.
If you have six starters, you don't think the rest of them will support?
I don't think it would get that far. If all six of them said something, I think U.S. Soccer would come in and do something.
And cancel the game?
Yeah, they'd cancel the game.
But that's what we want, right? We want to put pressure on them. They have to do something. And that's my whole thing, right? We sit here and Black Lives Matter was on the jerseys of EPL was tremendous. It's shocking.
But here's the deal. He's talking about change within the country. So if let's say he doesn't want to play for the national team and the U.S. soccer said, well, okay, we're canceling the game. Tell me how U.S. soccer is going to influence policy on the national level.
Yeah, we're going to control.
That's what I'm saying. Those are questions that he has to answer.
Yeah,
you know where does he see it? You know, is it just a U.S. soccer thing? Is it obviously in his words? He said the whole country.
But you guys don't believe that his fellow teammates who are not of African American descent would not support him.
Maybe they might end up doing it, but initially, I don't see them saying, "All right, I'm not going to play." I don't see any of them saying that.
I think Bradley would step up and the rest of them would follow.
The whole squad.
If five guys in the whole on the squad feels like, listen, we not feel comfortable and we want to make a stand, I think Captain America, Michael Bradley, would step up and then everybody else would follow.
You think Greg Berhalter would step up and just nix it?
I mean, it's how do you nix? You have to play the game, but they he has to.
I'm
worried about the players more than the coach.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, all this is hypothetical.
Yes.
You know, I would like to see that. I would like to see the coaches, the staff, stand up for what is really going on, not just on the surface, but really digging deep and having those conversations with his players and asking why you guys don't feel like you want to play. And then they obviously they answer the question. And then they say, you know what? We stand with you. We're with you. We're behind you. That's what I would like to see. If it ever came to that, you know what I'm saying? And for US soccer as well, you know, US soccer says, hey, you know, we support whoever wants to kneel or don't want to play, you know, for the national team because of, you know, what's going on in our country. Mm-hmm. Show support. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, the whole thing is, what do we always talk about? A lot of this is about having these kind of conversations, having an open mind and listening to our stories, to what we've been through and what kind of change that can be made.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Having a different conversation. So if they just sit down and don't just make a, and don't make a, you know, a rule or a quick judgment, and they actually just sit down and say, okay, you know what? Look, this is why we're doing this. This is why we're doing it. And they actually listen to it. That's half the battle. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Cause that's what you want. You always, in any situation, you want support. You want support, you know, from your peers. You want support from people that, you know, that employ you. You know what I'm saying? So I think that if that did happen, then show support.
Show support. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a round of applause, please, for Mr. Robbie Rogers. Thank you so much for joining the show, Robbie. How you feeling?
I'm good. Thanks for having me. Yeah,
no problem.
You know, still quarantining and everything with my family, so.
Yeah.
No.
Speaking of your family.
How's that happen?
Yeah, how's that with two kids?
It's
I got one, so I know.
Yeah, exactly. It's that times two. So it's, you know, you're a principal and a teacher and a technician figuring out all these Zoom things and just like FaceTiming with these other kids. You know,
my man looks stressed. Look at him.
hey Robbie, I saw a dog in the background too. How many pets do you have?
Yeah, I have one.
So that's another child as well.
Yes,
as well.
This morning I like got up to my room after, you know, feeding the kids and everything. And then I realized the dog had like thrown up on the carpet.
Oh man.
And I was like,
oh well.
Good morning.
But, so you got, hey Rob, you got any tips? Cause I have a, you know, cause you have a 4-year old, right?
4-year old and a 1-year old.
And a 1-year old. So mine's six. My daughter's six. So, I mean, if you could give me any kind of tips to keep them entertained more than.
I mean, I think, yeah, you can give me tips. Yeah. I think, you know, it's one thing I realized is they're all like so different.
Mm-hmm.
And with two, you're like trying to, you know, get them to play together and do things that like, you know, I don't know, just make it easier on yourself. But because they're so different, they just like me, our daughter just doesn't want to. Caleb loves like play on his iPad and do like learning games and play with puzzles. And Mia's just like, I mean, she's only one, but she's not into it. So
who do you think favors you more, your son or your daughter?
You know, and then it's adding also my husband too. So like, it's an interesting dynamic. You know, he's like so obsessed with having a daughter. It's really cute to watch actually, like him hold her.
Yeah.
She comes to me when she is like emotional and tired, and then to him to be like entertained. Mm-hmm. And the same with our son. It's like Greg's very intellectual with Caleb, so like reading books and telling stories and like teaching things, he goes to Greg, and then he comes to me when he's like wants to get his way with something, you know. And so the dynamic is very interesting, and it's very like clear to us. We always talk about it. It just kind of is what it is. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of like a more stereotypical, like I would say, like a mom, I guess, to them. It's interesting. It's really interesting to watch like how it just naturally played out. You know, I
say all the time,
the emotional one.
The first thing kids learn how to do is how to manipulate their parents.
Exactly, how to survive, right? They're learning to survive.
Yeah. Hey, talk about surviving, man. You had such a great career, outstanding performances in the MLS, but also your travels overseas. I did see that you had an opportunity to try out with PSV. Was BZ there at that same time too?
Well, first off, my career wasn't as amazing as these two guys, so they were both.
Stop it, man.
Yeah.
I think you're a better player.
I think you were
a better player, but you know.
Hey, PSV wanted to sign you. You remember that, right?
Ish. I mean, I think they kind of were like, yeah, stay, and you can go to school. And stay. Like, it wasn't necessarily like, here is a contract and stay here and play here for whatever amount of years. So
how old were you?
I think I was like 16 going to like bars and clubs.
I showed him the things not to do.
He was coming in there to take your job, Bees. He's like,
yeah, straight up. Hey, why you think I told him to go to the bars? Why you so I can keep my job, goddamn.
No, it was fun to watch these guys play and to play with them on the national team or wherever. So I remember being at PSV and watching Bees just train. When there just weren't, you know, that many Americans to be able to like watch, play overseas. So it was really cool for me just to be there and to watch that.
How'd you get that opportunity? You're so young to get a look at
PSV. Before that I trained with Heron Vane. They'd like watch me play. And PSV had watched me play a little bit with Heron Vane and then watched me play with like the youth national team and all that stuff. So then they just invited me to come and it was great. It was a great learning experience, but again, it wasn't as like black and white. You know, Bees are obviously like, here is a contract to come play for whatever amount of years. And I was a little bit younger and also I think a little bit more unknown compared to like, you know, DeMarcus is such a great career right off the bat. Mm-hmm. I think I was still quite not ready for that opportunity, if I'm being totally honest.
I remember, you probably don't remember, I remember one time in the national team when they were trying to like convert you to an outside back, and you were not an outside back. You're midfield. You actually had the same resistance that Bees did, because I remember back from 2006 they were trying to recruit Bees to be an outside back, and I remember I told you I was like bro, like you could.
I remember you having this conversation with me.
Remember that? I was like, yeah. you could take this.
We were in Utah. We were up in we were like training up in Park City, right?
Yeah.
Before we were playing, I think it was like El Salvador down in Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I would have listened to you. It was so much fun, you know, and obviously it's changed where you have to cover so much ground and definitely, you know, Bees, you can attest to this, but it's like, I took such a beating on my body just playing outside back, just running up and down. You know, I can't imagine doing it in Houston, but at least in LA, the field was just so massive and my body just was destroyed. But it was so much fun. Especially if you're on a good team that has the ball.
Yeah, see, I was about to say that. The Houston teams, not so much. You know what I'm saying? I was in the air. The national team was cool because that was all right. But with the Houston, man, it was.
I used to beg Bees, go up the field. He was like, hell no.
I thought we can't. Yeah.
It's not physically possible.
It's not, especially if you're not on, like Robbie said, if you're not on a good team, man, you in trouble. Yeah, it's not fun.
Robbie, I got to ask you, because leading up to this today, I was like, you know what? I heard about All-American, but I never watched it. So like 4 days ago, I started watching season one.
Yeah.
And find myself 6 a.m. still watching this show. And I'm like, yo, how come I didn't know about this? And how come nobody told me Robbie was a part of this? Like, how'd you get into it?
There's a lot of people that, you know, kind of hear about it, but don't necessarily watch it. And then when they start watching it, they realize it's like so much more than just about like football, or, you know, it's very soapy and there's all the love triangles and you like want him to end up with like Olivia or Layla and like, you know, you're torn through all that stuff and all the secrets. So I got involved in just like production and producing and storytelling my first year with the Galaxy. There was these two producers that came to me to do a comedy that was like loosely based off my life, but it was like a half hour about like this gay soccer player that comes out and like, but has no idea how to be gay. Like never, you know, I know this sounds weird, but like never been on first date, never went to a bar, never. It was like, well, that is true. Like I had never done all those things. So you're having to do that as like a full grown ass adult. Like, you know, imagine if you're going on your first date with a girl, you know, as a 20 something year old. You're awkward. You're supposed to
it's like that 40 year old virgin movie.
Exactly.
So, Bees are still awkward though, Robbie. Bees are still awkward.
Hey y'all, this is DeMarcus Beasley of the Crack Podcast. Thanks for listening to episode 1 of Robbie Rogers. Tune into the second episode. Alright, peace.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.